My text is found in the words of Christ to Jairus in verse 50. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. These are the only recorded words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Jairus on this occasion. It was a time fraught with anxious grief and care as this distressed father came to the Savior, contemplating the loss of his only daughter and calling upon him to come and help. She was on the brink of death. He was about to lose her. And he was driven by that fear to Christ for help. I think the fewness of the Savior's words on this occasion make them all the more profound and significant. We're not told that there was any other conversation between them on this occasion. In spite of it being such an emotionally charged atmosphere, in spite of it being a very difficult time for Jairus, I think that as parents especially, we can put ourselves into his shoes. And this is all the Lord had to say to him. Sometimes the Lord doesn't say very much. But what he says is ever so important. Fear not, believe only. Now we may never find ourselves in exactly the same circumstances that Jairus was in. But yet, as individuals, as families, as a church, we may find other distressing things that will touch our heart. Perhaps even to a similar degree to that which Jairus felt at this time. We may, and we do, and we will, encounter things that make us realize we can do nothing and drive us in utter desperation and helplessness to the Savior and say, Lord, you have to do something. That's where this man was. What could he do? He could do nothing. He was powerless, except for the fact that he could go and solicit the help of the Savior. We face circumstances. Surely we have faced them already. Every true Christian knows something from the very beginning of their Christian life of this sensation. For it was part of their conversion experience to have this sensation that I am utterly lost unless Jesus Christ does something. And in that spirit of helplessness, Jairus comes to the Savior and said, Lord, you have to do something. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, pleaded with him, come home. I have only one daughter, she's dying. We may have similar concerns to Jairus for unconverted loved ones, family members that need the touch of God, the cause of the church, either locally or at large. Lord, the case is desperate. And unless you step in, we're done. That's where Jairus was. Pleading with Christ to come. Whatever it is, whatever the circumstance that makes us look at it with some sense of desperation and realize that we need the Lord here. And as we seek out Christ as Jairus did, and that of course is the important thing, it's not just a desperate sense of need, but coming with him to Jesus' feet and saying, Lord, come. Come and help. Come and work. As we do that, I am absolutely convinced we may hear him say these words as it were to us. Fear not. Believe only. I'm sure there were many things that Jairus may have hoped that the Lord would say to him on this occasion. But very deliberately, the Savior's counsel and instruction was limited, but so filled with poignant truth. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Here was a word that had the spiritual nutrition in it to sustain Jairus for as long as was necessary, until he saw the Lord come and marvelously answer prayer in a work of personal revival, quite literally, a work of revival to raise his daughter from the dead. Fear not, believe only. I want us to take the words to heart today as we consider them. First of all, can we notice that in this instruction, the Savior is encouraging the faith that Jairus had already demonstrated. The Lord Jesus is not saying to Jairus, begin to believe. Rather, he is saying, continue to believe. Keep on believing. Back up in the verse 40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned out of the country of the Gadarenes, where he had healed legion, he comes back to the city of Capernaum. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. I tell you, that's faith at work. That's faith. He's among those that are waiting for Christ. They've heard he's coming. There's a people there and they're waiting. And Jairus is there. And he beseeches him. He's at Jesus' feet. That's where faith always brings us. That's the only place faith will bring us. That's how you know true faith. True faith will always bring us to Jesus' feet. Always bring us in humility to the feet of the Son of God. His faith had already been at work. But that faith that was initially seen is to be continued. Jairus is to continue to trust the Savior even in these distressing circumstances, and as they develop over a period of time. Some time is involved here. We understand that there was a delay in the proceedings. There's a period of time, a journey that has to be made of whatever length, but it took time. And over the course of these events, that faith is to be continued. It's so easy. We know this from bitter personal experience. It's so easy for faith to break down. We can begin well. Oh, we can start at Jesus' feet, and then before you know it, we're ready to give up. We're ready to give up. We know that from our own personal experience. But Jairus is to continue to trust the Savior. And notice this particularly. He is to believe exclusively. Fear not. Believe only. That is the only thing Jairus can do. That is the only response that is required of him. At this point, he can do nothing medically. He has nothing within the range of abilities or feelings as a father, as a ruler in the synagogue, as whatever talents he may have had, there is nothing that he can do. The command of Christ is only believe. That's all left. You know, the Lord often brings his people to a place where there is nothing left. Where there is nothing left for us to put our hand on, as it were, as a tool or an instrument and say, well, now we can use this and turn the thing round. Believe only. There was nothing left but faith in Christ. He'd been reduced to nothing. Humanly speaking, there wasn't a shred of anything to hope in. There wasn't a pill, there wasn't a doctor, there wasn't a remedy, there was nothing. The Savior is urging upon Jairus here, if he had any shadow of a doubt of hoping in any of those things, maybe she'll pull out of it, maybe she'll turn the corner, maybe her mother will be able to come up with something that will make a difference. Believe only. What's the Lord saying to him? Jairus, abandon everything else and trust me. You know, in the work of God, it's always so tempting to say, well, you know, if we did this or if we did that, it might accomplish, affect people and have an effect. It might be successful. It might do this. We changed this or rebranded the other thing or moved or did something. It might make a difference. I don't believe, I do not believe that those things are part of seeing the work of God turn around. I believe we must come to the place, and this is where the Lord is gently shepherding Jairus. Jairus, I know, I've seen your faith. You've been at my feet. But I want you to get to the place where you have nothing left but me. Nothing left but me. Believe only. You know the familiar words of James chapter 1 and the verse 6. The apostle there is, in the context, he's specifically talking about asking for faith or asking for wisdom. But it's a principle that he lays down that it will apply to every similar matter. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So long as there is any other alternative entertained by us, we will not receive anything from the Lord. That man that James is hypothetically referring to there, oh, he's trusting the Lord, but then, well, maybe we can rely on something, and he's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Let not that man receive anything of the Lord. It simply meant that Jairus must trust the response of Christ to his cry for help and continue to walk with him at his pace. Believe only. And trust me. Now you think about the immensity of what was involved in that. His daughter's life is on the line. Lord, can't we get there any quicker? Trust me. Can't you do something now? Trust me. Fear not. Believe only. You'll see that the Savior encourages his faith. As I've said, there's already faith at work here. And now the Savior is working to nurture it. That's always the Savior's work. It's his work in us to cause faith to grow. To cause faith to develop. That's why he leads us in certain ways. That's why he teaches us what he teaches us in his word. That's why he would have us to pray. That's why he sends the Spirit, so that faith may grow. Now, how does he do this? He encourages Jairus' faith in a number of ways. First, by his initial response to Jairus' petition. Was it not an encouraging of Jairus' faith when the Savior said, I'll go with you. Because he did. He did go with him. That's obvious enough from the words that we're reading. And yet, Matthew, when he's recording these words, this incident in Matthew chapter 9, the verse 19, we read, "And Jesus arose and followed him." Jesus arose and followed him. The Lord encourages this man in his faith by going with him. Now that's something that must not be forgotten even as time ticks away here. The Savior is still with him. The Savior is still there. The Lord hasn't left him. He's still there. In fact, he's close enough to talk to Jairus. He's close enough for Jairus to hear his voice. That's ever such an encouraging thing for God's people, is it not, in times of distress? It comes as such a relief of soul, such an encouragement of faith. And we can detect the presence of the Savior. We can hear his voice. We know he's there. If the Lord is speaking, I can take encouragement from that, no matter how tough things may get, no matter how worked up and anxious and fretful I may become. If I can hear the voice of the Savior, that's always an aid to faith. I know he's still there. You remember the disciples in John 6? They were in the dark and the storm. Jesus was not come unto them. And then they see him coming and they're mistaken. They think it is a spirit and they cry out for fear. And immediately he spoke to them and said, "Be not afraid, it is I. It is I." The sound of his voice, the assurance that he was there, why, that changed everything. And the Savior is still with Jairus. You may have run into circumstances that bring distress. But if in the midst of those circumstances you're still hearing the voice of the Lord, that's an aid to faith. That'll strengthen you to go on. That's what we need. It's part of the spiritual DNA of the new creature. I must have the Savior with me. I must hear the sound of his voice. Like the psalmist prayed, "Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like them that go down into the pit." On one level he's saying, "Lord, there's no difference between me and those that are going to hell if I don't hear the voice of Christ." On another level he's saying, "Lord, if you don't speak, I'm going to die. What hope is there?" But the Lord did respond to Jairus' request and he's still there. Oh, things may not have worked out quite the way Jairus hoped, I'm quite sure. He had thought, right, the Lord's coming, clear the way, let's get home and let's get this matter sorted out. But there, as you know, were other things to happen. We like it to work out that way. And unbelief will sometimes say, "Well, it's taking so long." But if you can hear the Savior's voice along the way, that's a reason to keep on believing. He's still there. More than that, he worked in the lives of others along the way. What a time this was. Matthew 9 tells us that immediately the Savior entered Capernaum, the opening verses of Matthew 9, where he healed the paralytic man, you remember, was let down through the roof. That happens. That happened just at this point in time. Just as Jairus is coming. Those events were just fresh. They were just brand new. Maybe only minutes before. Jairus is petitioning the Savior to come and to heal his daughter. Then on the way to his house, there's this woman with the issue of blood that is wonderfully healed as well. I can't help thinking when I look at verse 48 that the Lord Jesus, in working in this woman and dealing with her, even though Jairus would have perhaps felt it as a delay and maybe, for all we know, might have fumed and fussed a little because of the delay. Look at the words of verse 48. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." It's always interesting when the Lord Jesus uses terminology like that. He addressed that woman as daughter. How could he do that? There's only one reason why the Lord Jesus could call that woman daughter. Because at that moment he was speaking to her on behalf of the Father, encouraging her as a child of God. A wonderful thing to see the Savior speak for the Father. But surely the word daughter itself would have had an impact on Jairus. Did he know? Perhaps he did. We can't be dogmatic about it, but perhaps he did know in the course of the woman explaining what was wrong and how she had been healed. Did he know that her condition had been one that she had suffered for 12 years, exactly the same time his daughter had been alive? And just looking at it from a human point of view, I think these things would have struck a chord in Jairus' heart as parallels to his own circumstances. And yet the Lord is saying to Jairus, "See what I can do? Doctors couldn't heal her, but I can." This significant use of the word daughter. And the referencing of the miracle power that had healed her back to her faith. All of this was a word to Jairus. You know, you can learn a lot just by watching the Lord's work in the lives of others. Certainly you can. Where you interpret those things in the light of Scripture, man, you can learn things. Do we not do that all the time as Christians? We look at the life of David, we learn something. Or Abraham, or Moses, or Peter, or Paul, we learn something. We see the work of God, the work of grace in their lives. That's how we learn. And perhaps in a more limited sense, even in the ordinary lives of fellow believers, we can learn something. You ever stop to ask yourself, do people learn anything about the Lord? Learn anything that will strengthen their faith? When they look at me. You ever think about that? Yet here's a poor, trembling woman who, as she met with Christ and experienced His power, as she did, it would have been a means of strengthening Jairus' faith. I would want to have such an experience of the Lord Jesus in my life that I might be a comfort to somebody like Jairus. Troubled, anxious, waiting on the Lord. That's something to pray for. Conversely, how easy, we all know this, how easy it is to be a hindrance. How easy it is to be hurtful. How easy it is to be a discouragement. There's somebody like Jairus. This woman may never have known him. Likely as a prominent man or a ruler of the synagogue, she may well have known who he was and might even have known something of his circumstances. But perhaps she never thought of being an encouragement to him. We never know. We've often said it, who may be watching, who may be looking, who may be thinking about us just at a given time, and we can either be a discouragement or an encouragement to them in their faith in Christ. But the Savior nourishes Jairus' faith, especially by these words. When you think of faith growing and developing, faith thrives upon the Word of Christ. That is its chief food. That is its chief source of its growth and development. Faith comes by hearing. The hearing of the Word of God. And Jairus hears a word from Christ spoken to him. It's got his name on it. Fear not. Believe only. You know, that's how you should read your Bible. Read it to hear the Savior speak to you. This verse as good as had Jairus' name on it. Jairus, I'm talking to you. Fear not. Believe only. As the Savior walks in Jairus' company, he gives him a command here. Oh, we know it's the Lord's prerogative to give commands. Two of them. Fear not. Believe only. But he doesn't leave it at a bare command. He attaches a promise. To incite the faith to obey the commands. She shall be made whole. She shall be made whole. Ah, there was something he could get his teeth into. There was something that he could rest upon. Fear not. Believe only. She shall be made whole. The promise was that which seemed impossible. She's dying. The Savior says she can be well, whole, at peace, complete, perfect. Yet as he continued to trust and fear not, that's the way it would be. It leads us to another important lesson here, and that is that Christ encourages faith even when he tests it. The path that the Lord Jesus led Jairus on was a severe test to the faith that he professed. He'd come running perhaps to Jesus' feet. Lord, come, help me. What does the Lord do? He could have healed her with a word right there. But the Lord sets about, you see, leading this man in a course that will bring him to the place where he believes only. It is the Savior's business to encourage faith, as I've said, and more often than not, he will do that through testing, straining it, pressurizing us, bringing us into circumstances where our faith is put to the test. Did not Peter write the trial of your faith? Well, that's an exceedingly precious thing. Because the trial of your faith will produce that which in the day of Christ will be found to be worthy of honor. It is as faith is strained by the passage of time. Strained as he must exercise patience and yet more patience and wait, and however long it takes the Savior to get to his house, he must continue to believe. And it's pressurized. But it is in that testing environment that faith grows and develops. Can we notice something else here? Second thing. That fear was in danger of overwhelming his faith. Fear was the threat, the big threat to his faith at this point. It is especially at this point in the whole experience of verse 50 that fear threatens the faith that he has shown up until now. He has come to Christ. He has walked with Christ. He has waited on Christ. But right now there is a crisis develops as far as Jairus is concerned, and at this moment fear is on the point of overwhelming the faith that he has already shown. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Fear, at one level, is a natural response to a threat. But fear is usually hostile to faith. Fear is usually fatal to faith as we give way to it. You have an example of it in Peter's experience in Matthew 14. You remember he's walking on the water. What faith? Got out of the boat to go to Jesus at his command. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" It was his fear that was the working of unbelief. There is a sense in which you cannot fear and have faith. You cannot be afraid and continue to believe. That's why the Savior puts the two together here. Fear not. Believe only. They're two mutual exclusives. Now, look at the fact that this fear, or at least the potential for fear, is occasioned by fresh information arriving. There's a news report. Jairus, things have changed. My daughter is dead. How often from a human perspective, fresh information seems to put an end to what we have believed will happen. A new development. A new circumstance has arisen. As humans, of course, our experience is sequential. Things happen in sequence. God's not like that. Everything is known by Him, to Him, simultaneously. But news arrives now for Jairus that confirms his worst fears. And the fact is, it's an indisputable fact, his daughter is dead. But I want you to notice something very carefully about this news report. It wasn't just the communication of a fact. Thy daughter is dead. That's the fact. But then the person goes on to say, "Trouble not the master." There you have an interpretation of the facts that threatened to overwhelm Jairus' faith with fear. And that's a critical thing to remember. The facts as they develop change nothing. You think the Savior didn't know she was going to die? I say to you, that's why he delayed, so that she would die. To test Jairus' faith even further. And to bring about circumstances where there was a greater display of his power and glory. You think he didn't orchestrate this? Of course he did. But in light of knowing what he was going to do, the Savior said to Jairus, "Don't you be afraid, you believe me." But now the interpretation of the facts as they are learned by Jairus threaten to overwhelm the faith that has got him to Christ, has had him walk with Christ thus far in the direction of his home. There'll always be a readiness, even in our own heart and in the hearts of others around us, to interpret the facts in a way that is fatal to the promise of God. This development has changed nothing with regard to Christ's knowledge, Christ's willingness, Christ's power. It's changed nothing. But the perception of it has the potential to change a great deal as far as Jairus' faith is concerned, and even to change, therefore, his experience of the power of Christ. Natural logic, natural reasoning, for that's what's displayed here. She's dead, forget about it. That's just natural, unbelieving logic. That's human reasoning at its most basic. And that kind of reasoning, that kind of a response to circumstances as they develop, as we maybe learn fresh facts, new information about things, news comes to us, and as we look at it with the eye of natural reasoning, it'll be fatal to faith. There's no point in going on. And here's where the word of Christ comes in. Do not be afraid. Believe only. It doesn't matter what new developments are reported. And it doesn't matter who carries the report, or who gives the advice, or who suggests anything. I'm not inclined to believe that it was Jairus' wife that originated this report. It may have been the servant himself that took upon himself to interpret the facts in this way. You better come home and forget about it all, Jairus. Just, it's okay, it's over, it's done, forget about it. But whoever it was, and sometimes even those that are close to us, what if it was his wife? What if it was someone who had encouraged him to go to Christ in the first place? But their unbelief is now threatening his faith. We must be careful in how we respond to new developments as they happen, lest we respond in such a way that is fatal to a trust in Christ and his promise. The delay in Christ getting to his house mitigated against faith. It's been a while now. The Lord still hasn't got to Jairus' house. There's been a delay. There's a multitude there. There has been obstacles in the path, and now it's too late, it seems. Is that not the thrust of the report? From a natural point of view, if you'd have been Jairus, isn't that how you would have thought, Lord, if we could only have got there quicker? If you could only have done something half an hour ago, it would have been different. We feel a sense of emergency about the work of God that the Savior never fails. Never. We feel a sense of panic. We feel a sense of anxiety. Lord, hurry up, come on. We don't have all day. We need to get it done. Get it done now, or it's going to be too late. He never feels that. Yet the Savior makes it clear to Jairus that it is at that point precisely, that panicking, it's now too late, it's all over, we'll just give up. But faith has to triumph, right there. That is the critical point. Wait on the Lord, the psalmist said. And you ever think why he immediately said, be of good courage? Because it takes a lot of courage to wait on the Lord when it seems it's too late to do anything. What do you mean, sit here? Look like a complete idiot when there's not a shred of evidence that anything can be done now? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. You know, there was no shortage of what we might describe as naysayers who encouraged fear rather than faith. We find a bunch of them even in Jairus' own house. Maybe these were the source of the advice to give up. They all wept and bewailed her and said, "Weep not." He said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed unto scorn, knowing that she was dead. In every circumstance that the child of God finds themselves in, where they are required to hang on to Christ by faith, there will always be any number to scorn. We know better. They know better than God. See how that's emphasized here? They laughed unto scorn. Laughed Christ to scorn, knowing we know better than Him. You know, that's one of the problems in the church. When we think we know better than God. They laughed Him to scorn. And in laughing Him to scorn, they were laughing at Jairus' faith too. Because Jairus was trusting this Christ to do something. What a ludicrous idea these bunch thought it was. They laughed. It's hard to keep on believing in the face of scorn. Even right up until the very moment that Jesus worked, right in His own home, Jairus found those who were working against his faith. Nominally they were there to help. Nominally they were there to sympathize. They were there to be an encouragement. But in reality they were working against his faith. You see that? Laughing. At the position that Jairus was hanging onto as his only hope that Christ can do something. That's a sad reality. That in the work of God there is usually any number on the sidelines that are prepared to say, "It's a waste of time. Give it up." In conclusion, the Savior comes and works in power among those who take Him at His word. Never be afraid to take Him at His word. Where it doesn't matter who mocks, and it doesn't matter how long it takes in His sovereign purpose for Him to get there, He comes and works in power. Obviously, Jairus obeyed the words of this command. "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." For that's exactly what happened. I think we can detect, if we're allowed to read a little between the lines here, that at this point the Savior busied Himself to go in a more direct fashion to Jairus' house. He'd always been going there, but he had been delayed, if it's proper to use that term. But you understand what I mean. He'd been held back. But now it seems he goes there directly. I think we can make the conclusion that the faith of Jairus in a time of crisis will bring an accelerated response from the Savior. You see, He'd got Jairus to where He wanted him. He'd got Jairus where Jairus needed to be. Right to the place where, "Lord, You're all I have. I'm trusting in nothing else. I'm believing only. I'm going to fight fear and I'm going to hang on to Christ. That You're going to work when, how You will." And then the Lord moved. That is the character of faith that we should aim for. I believe that when, by God's grace, we get to that place, we will see the Lord work. Our fear will stand in the way. Our unbelief will stand in the way. But as we are brought by grace to conduct ourselves like Jairus, I believe you will see the Lord busy himself to work. He dismisses all who scorn him. Scorners are fatal to blessing. The Lord Jesus did not heal this girl while those scorners were in the house. That spirit of scorning has to go. It's one of the first evidences that the Lord was beginning to work in power. He put them out. Matthew 13:58 tells us he did not many works there because of their unbelief. And while that spirit of scorn and unbelief lingers in our hearts, there'll not be any power. It's got to go. It's got to go. And the Lord will work in grace when he works to purge that from us. To take away from us anything that would countenance for a moment the despising attitude that is here. This is part of the triumph of faith in Jairus' life. That he's rid of this attitude from his home, from his household. And the Lord Jesus now works in power. He put them all out. He took her by the hand. He called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Here is quite literally and truly an act of revival on a personal level. You might have a daughter. You might have a son. Or some other family member. And more than anything, what you need is for the Lord to take them by the hand. Maybe dead in trespasses and sins. You need the Lord to take them by the hand. Make them stand on their feet for him. Jairus sees his daughter live again and demonstrate that life in a new walk and new activity. And an appetite for food. This is what we need to see. We need to see it. I believe that Jairus had the faith of a champion. He's maybe not the first man that would spring to mind if you were asked to think of a hero in the faith. But I believe nonetheless this man proved his mettle in these circumstances. Very difficult, trying times, waiting on the Lord. Fighting fear. Christ was all he'd left. And the Lord worked in power and great glory. You remember the man the Savior said to, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." May God give us the grace to fear not, believe only. And even when others may say, "Dead, give it up. There's no hope left." Let us obey the Savior and press on.